Blog Talk Radio.
To me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Wyman. Be blessed.
Happening in your life, God is right there, and all you have to do is call on him, because he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting to hear you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'd like to call into this show, the telephone number is 347-202-0317. We will stop it at any time because we're recording right now. If you'd like to call on the cell phone, that is 1-251-362-1935. Anytime, at all times during the broadcast, we will stop and talk to you regardless of whatever you want to talk about. Anything under the sun that God has created, we will talk to you about it here on House Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. We play all styles of music. If you have a preference of music, country, bluegrass, praise, worship, jazz, jazz mix. We don't play too much rap, but we do have some rap in our inventory. But we do play all styles of music. And we hope that you will join us here on House of the Gospel Blog Talk Radio. The songs that you're going to be hearing now for the next 3 hours or so are some of the songs that I have personally chosen that I like and added to our playlist. This one is one right here. Let the church say amen. The church right now. It's in the hearts of men. Jesus Christ is in the hearts of men. And how you act and what you do is coming out of your heart. Don't be discouraged by what's taking place with President Donald Trump and the United States and all the things taking place. You keep your hands and your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, God Almighty, your Creator. He has everything. Everything that is happening is for a reason. Just keep praying, keep loving, keep caring for people, keep sharing with people, and love as God has told you to do. And carry His word to other Christians. Again, thank you for joining us here at House of the Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Oh, by the way, you can find me all over the internet. All you got to do is type in 3 words, House C Production Gospel. That's all you need to type in. Or the hashtag HOWCE. I'm all over the internet. Thank you very much. And welcome again to House C Production Gospel, Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday. God is awfully good.
that we're going to be talking to a pre-recorded interview that we've edited and changed some things. You may hear some things a couple times, twice, but this was Miss Joyce Munger. She's a graduate of GFCS High School in 1972. She's a retired pediatric nurse, and she has some very powerful life lessons for us in regards to nursing and pediatric. And I learned some things myself in regards to being treated and the liquids that they give you, especially for young children as well as adults when they go through surgery. And she has some powerful insights, and she's very knowledgeable. And I do hope that at some point that she will return to the classroom teaching other nurses because of the wealth of her experience. I knew her. I knew her mother in 1972. I had graduated already in 1966. That's some 8 years earlier. But anyway, I knew her mother, Miss Munger, when she worked with Mr. Cunningham in the years past, and helping been prepare him on the road for civil rights struggles and having food and clothes, food and money in his pocket as he traveled throughout the South, battling the issues of segregation and the civil rights. Anyway, you sit back and you relax. It runs about 41 minutes. We edit it, and some things we had to take out and some things we had to add. But anyway, it runs about 41 minutes. We hope you enjoy the conversation with Ms. Joyce Munger. She's a retired pediatric nurse here in back home. Returned home several years ago because her mother's illness. And she has been here ever since. She loves gardening. She is focusing her attention now on growing her garden. And you hear her talk about those things in the, by the end of the program. Anyway, thank you and enjoy the program.
Good evening and welcome to Howell C. Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Coming to you from 231 6th Avenue down south here in the big city of Beatrice, Alabama. We have a very special guest in the studio with us this afternoon by the name of Ms. Joyce Munger, class of 1972 at J.F. Shields High School. And guess what the common denominator is with the class of 1972? The one and only Mr. John Drew was her classmate. Welcome, Ms. Munger, to Howell C. Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, how are you?
All right. We are going to be talking about Ms. Munger after she graduated in 1972. She went out in life and in to see the world and ended up being a pediatric nurse for over 40 years before she returned to the big city of Tunnel Spring, Peterman, Beatrice, Alabama. Ms. Munger, you have the mic. Talk to us about your career, what you experienced from your class 1972 up until now, and how life has taught you some lessons.
Okay. Some lessons it has taught us. Well, we graduated in 72, and after that we went to Gardner-Webb College. John Drew was recruited there to play basketball. So a few of us out of his class, out of class of 72, went with him, and it was a small campus, a small Baptist college, and it was a very personable college. We had never been away from home, so having others there with us from the same class was, it was just like a little family. And so various of us graduated at different times because another young lady was there nursing, Vivian Riley. She was there nursing, and during that first year, I didn't pass one of my classes, so it threw me back because they were not like you could go on. Mm-hmm. And I came home and I worked. And after working, I was able to work and see some of the things that I need to be looking out for when I became a nurse, you know, out working. And it kind of changed me and had to shape my way for, you know, what I needed to do. And when I went back, I graduated, with the class when I went back, just a year later. And started working in this new hospital that was built right in the 70s, about 3 years before we graduated. And it was built on a new concept of nursing, where the nurses were with the patients at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have what we call nurses' stations. We just had a little alcove where we, you know, stepped in to eat our lunch or whatever. But we were with the patients, and everything was brought to the patient's room that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
We had someone who were bring the supplies to the room as the doctor orders and things that we need. And the pharmacy would come in and bring medication in little locked drawers.
Mm-hmm.
And each nurse had a key to unlock the drawer for their medications. And as you would know it, some people got a little happy with the narcotics, so they had to change that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what happened after that, because I worked there for 2 years, but I heard about the narcotic, you know, slipping out, and so they had to change that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, to me, it was a great, great experience. I had a very, very good clinician, the doctor that I worked with, the pediatrician. This man could close his eyes and make a diagnosis that was right on spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I gained a lot of skills from him in approaching, looking at a sick baby,
mm-hmm.
and what we do for them. The one thing that stands out in my mind, during that time, we treated a lot of meningococcal meningitis,
mm-hmm.
and meningococcemia,
mm-hmm.
which is very virulent now. It made a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of college kids get this when they go to the dorm rooms and stuff. And now they have a vaccine for that. And we're talking about in 76 when we treated a lot of kids with this. We did spinal taps and got spinal fluid that was milky white.
Mm-hmm.
This is how bad this kid was. And so what we treated, how the doctor treated this meningitis was...
Keep talking.
He gave ampicillin and penicillin. And each time a patient was diagnosed, and we didn't know it until we got there, each of us was given antibiotics, like we got ampicillin as a prophylaxis for us,
mm-hmm.
so we wouldn't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that we were the first people to, I would say, be guinea pigs to take rifampin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a medication that was, you know, that they started using prophylaxis for the penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
And it did turn your urine orange, like it said it would. So we was like, you know, we'll try anything, like, you know, when they were trying new medications.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just one experience that I had back in the 70s when I was working there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of childhood cancers in that area. And
mm-hmm.
this was in 76, so that was kind of new to me. And... I don't know. I think years later, when I went back to school, I was at A&T, and one of the nurses and her husband used to travel a lot,
mm-hmm.
and she said that they used to eat at truck stops, and that the truckers used to laugh about bringing toxic chemicals and putting in the mountains of up and down North Carolina, because you
mm-hmm.
know, couldn't nobody find out. And then I started thinking about that, and I was like, that's probably why we saw a lot of leukemias in these kids. And they weren't rich kids. They weren't poor kids. They were rich kids that lived, you know, in well-to-do
mm-hmm.
neighborhoods. So a lot of them did live in the mountains. So, you know, that just kind of clicked in my mind, you know, with that.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, I spent 2 years in North Carolina there in that particular area. And then I moved to Greensboro. And working there, I went back and got my B.S. at A&T University, in North Carolina A&T University.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, my takeaway from that one is, I got a ground root in nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
The nutrition class that we took was taught to us by a biochemist.
Mm-hmm.
And... we had to track everything in our mouth for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had to track it for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
just to see how many nutrients you did or did not get from the food that you ate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an eye-opener for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this professor brought out one thing to me, and I watched it when I got back into the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
I worked while I went to school while I was working.
Mm-hmm.
He said something very important to me. He said that a patient go in to have surgery,
mm-hmm.
and they don't get any type of pre-surgical treatment or nutritional background or nutritional substance to help them with this, you know, help them after the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have the surgery, they are in the hospital for 2 or 3 days with IV fluids with electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
No nutrition or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that started me keeping my eye open, and that's one of the things that I started doing with children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we doing? And I worked in the ICU when I got to Georgetown, and literally you could have people, not even kids, just grown people in the ICU starving to death because they're not getting their basic metabolic needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, kind of like started making some complaints about it. And then the nutrition was started, was part of the rounds, you know,
mm-hmm.
when the doctors had their rounds, that was a part of what were they getting, you know, how much nitrogen and everything was they getting, that's the protein.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just, that was one of the things that, you know, that pretty much I'm known for. When you go to Georgetown and ask about my name, they'll talk about the kids and the nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important, you know, when you're planning surgery,
mm-hmm.
is to kind of beef your body up before you go in.
Mm-hmm.
You increase your vitamin C, you increase your zinc, and you increase your protein. All of these things help tissue healing.
Mm-hmm. So that's because most of the time after you come out of surgery, you're just getting liquids.
You're just getting liquids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing I did request when my mom had surgery was for him to start her on TPN.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I knew she was behind the eight ball when she had, you know, when going in. And I, you know, had done everything I could, you know, to,
mm-hmm.
you know, get her the nutrition, that nutrients that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the doctor did honor that request for me, you know, that he started her on TPN so she can get nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And that would help her body healing. But that's important,
mm-hmm.
you know, anytime anybody's sick, because you got to be in the bed. You are depleted before you get there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if anybody have an elective surgery, they should think about the kind of foods that they're going to eat that's going to help tissue healing later.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm learning that most people are not even aware of that.
They're not, you know.
They're not even aware that their body really need more substance for the tissue healing than what's getting from that liquid that's coming out of their bottle.
Yes, that's true.
You mentioned Georgetown University. You mentioned North Carolina A&T.
Mm-hmm.
What other, what we might call prodigious colleges or universities that you attended to prepare you for your nursing career?
The first one was Gardner-Webb, that's where I had my
first. Oh.
Yeah, Gardner-Webb. I went into nursing there. That was my first. I had an associate
mm-hmm.
degree from Gardner-Webb.
Mm-hmm.
And after working 2 years in the hospital that I worked, was in Morganton, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
Grace Hospital, I moved on to Greensboro, and I just worked in one of the local hospitals there.
Mm-hmm.
And after I went back to A&T, and I graduated with my bachelor's, I moved on up to D.C. to Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And in 95, I got downsized out of my job,
mm-hmm.
worked agency, so I got to go to all of the hospitals there, and mainly worked at children
mm-hmm.
in D.C., and then I signed on in 2010,
mm-hmm.
and then I retired from there in 2016.
When did you finally get into your specialty, pediatrics?
After I graduated from A&T, that's when I...
Mm-hmm.
Was really what I was started out in PEDS. I didn't start out in PEDS. I didn't pass PEDS on my boards, you know, that
mm-hmm.
first time. So I went, I took that again, and I went to PEDS and worked with PEDS, and that was my niche.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how God can direct your path. What people, some people seem as failures, is just a stepping stone for you to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I looked at it as, and that's where my niche was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I enjoyed doing. And still, to this day, it was all in my bones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Love working with the kids, love working with the families, and giving their parents support and letting them know that they can take care of their child, you know, after a catastrophic event happens.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing was actually working with the families
mm-hmm.
and getting that parent to feel confident enough to take care of their child at home.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back a little bit when you was coming up. And your mother was a what?
Mom was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And
what she do with the, she did, she
She worked in a hospital. Well, I remember when I was a little girl, she was working. And this is the era when the nurse's uniform, she took her uniforms to the cleaners, and they were starched. They could stand up in the corner by themselves. And I always said I wanted to be a nurse because I liked her when she walked out with her little white starchy uniforms on. And she was a midwife.
Oh, that's what I wanted to, that's what I wanted to hone in on, your connection in pediatrics and your mom as a midwife. Connect them two for us.
Those two, I can say, she delivered the babies, but I would take care of them. I didn't want no parts of delivery. I would take care of them all day long, but not part of delivery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked out when I got to D.C. After we got downsized, I worked in one of the hospitals in their little neonatal. It was a special care nursery at the time, but it eventually evolved to a neonatal intensive care nursery. And I worked there, and it was just, like, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working with the newborns is good. But see, my biggest thing was I was working with the sick children and then as well with the newborns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I liked them both. They both were really great.
Yeah. I want to say I really didn't know you until I heard about you when you spoke at Antioch some while back.
Oh. Yes.
On a program for the, I think it's
Women's Conference. Mm-hmm.
Then I said, who is Ms. Mullen? Then I get to checking into my history. Then I find out that your mother, my mother was friend with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And your mother was one of them ladies that helped Mr. Cunningham during the civil rights era. All mm-hmm. they would get together and cook and get stuff prepared mm-hmm. for him to hit the road and so to have money in his pocket. And I said, that's the mom. That's it. And I didn't know it, realize until later on when I saw it. I said, that's her daughter.
Yes.
But I am happy to meet you. And when I saw your post on Facebook about 40 years in nursing, I said, I have gotten to talk to her. Somebody has spent 40 years as a nurse taking care of people and making sure they're healthy. Give us some of the experiences you had that really impact your life so far as your treatment and your interaction with moms and their children in pediatrics.
I want to one little sad note on this whole thing is that during the first 2 years when I was in this in Morganton, I had my first child to die on me and. I just went home that night and I just sit and stared at the walls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did everything we could do. And this is, again, when germs and bacteria, viruses and things get into the body, you know, they destroy more than, like to say, this child had what we called a vomiting and diarrhea, okay? It was caused by a virus. We now know that the virus name is rotavirus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I learned to kind of clock these things when the time of the year that these would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And rotavirus that we see, the vomiting diarrhea usually hits from February to March.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I noticed about that. And it's still to this day, you know, some people call it norovirus, I guess, when it gets to the adults or whatever, but pretty much the same stomach virus. Well, this virus got into this child's heart muscle. And destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor called me. I was at work that evening. He called me and told me he was sending her in and that he had seen her in the office early that morning. And he told me what to do for her. And I did it all, and I called him. I told him, I said, she looks pretty bad. And pretty much she was probably hadn't stopped breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on that now, she was already acidotic when she got there.
Mm-hmm.
Her skin was kind of ashen, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of pretty much death worn over. So I got everything done. And it just so happened the evening supervisor came around and he was getting ready to come to the hospital after I called him. And she came in. The supervisor always come in and check on you and see what's going on. And so she walked into the room and I was telling her about the child and this child took her last breath while she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, did the emergency coding and stuff like that, but you know, it wasn't to avail. And the doctor later told me, he came in that night and they did a post on it that night. Mm-hmm. And he said that the virus had gotten into her heart muscle. And so her muscle was just, her heart was just as flabby. And later on, about maybe a week or so later, he pulled me to the side and he said to me, he said, "I want you to know that no matter what you have would have done for that child, she was going to die anyway."
Mm-hmm.
Because the virus had destroyed her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that after then, he said he wasn't going to look at your common vomiting and diarrhea the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this child had died. And so it's just one of the experiences that I had. And it's like I sit at home that night and just stared at the four corners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we kind of got over that and stuff. But the nutrition class that we took was taught to us by a biochemist.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to track everything in our mouths for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had to track it for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see how many nutrients you did or did not get from the food that you ate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an eye-opener for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this professor brought out one thing to me, and I watched it when I got back into the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
I worked while I went to school while I was working.
Mm-hmm.
He said something very important to me. He said that a patient go in to have surgery, and they don't get any type of pre-surgical treatment or mm-hmm. nutritional background or nutritional substance to help them with this, you know, help them after the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have the surgery, they are in the hospital for 2 or 3 days with IV fluids with electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
No nutrition or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that started me to keep my eye open, and that's one of the things that I started doing with children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we doing? And I worked in the ICU when I got to Georgetown. And literally, you could have people, not even kids, just grown people in the ICU starving.
Mm-hmm.
No nutrition or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that started me keeping my eye open, and that's one of the things that I started doing with children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we doing? And I worked in the ICU. When I got to Georgetown, I started paying close attention to the nutrition that the children were getting, and especially when they were scheduled for surgery and having big-time surgery, I did notice a situation where this child was 4 years old, came in to have surgery, and didn't heal for a long time. I mean, the body almost just shut down, and I didn't get involved in the case right away. I went on vacation for 2 weeks and came back, and then I was assigned to this child. And it was said to me that this child was now on 30 calories of Prosobi. And I'm thinking, this child was 4 years old. What is this child doing on Prosobi? That's an infant formula. So I actually went and made a big stink with the physicians and everything and said, this child is 4 years old. This child been on Prosobi for 4 years. She has not gotten the nutrients that her body requires. And that's one of the reasons why she's not healing. And they started looking back at that, and they changed the situation with her nutrition, and voila, she healed and was able to be discharged to home. So a lot of times when kids are chronic, the nutrition tend to be one of the things that's overlooked. We had kids, we got started a cardiac open heart surgery service.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I kind of noticed that, you know, we have to keep up on the nutrition, especially when you have a child that's sick or chronic.
Mm-hmm.
You have to optimize their nutrition. This little girl came in, 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
had a real complex cardiac problem. And they did surgery on her, and she just didn't heal well or anything like that. And I never got involved because everybody else wanted to take care of these sick kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went on vacation. She had been there like maybe almost a month. I went on vacation and came back. And I was getting a report. And the nurse that was giving me a report said, she is now on Prosobi 30 calories.
Mm-hmm.
I went ballistic. I stopped report. Mm-hmm. And I asked, what the blankety blank is a 4-year-old kid doing on infant formula?
Mm-hmm.
4 years on infant formula.
Mm-hmm.
When you turn a year old, your metabolic needs change.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start eating regular food and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have like Pediasure and stuff like that, you know, for formula for kids that have problems eating. But there was no reason for a kid 4 years old being on an infant formula.
Mm-hmm.
Her basic metabolic needs weren't being met.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's saying, you know, after we switched everything around,
mm-hmm.
oh, she healed already. You know, she started healing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get the nutrients in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
One of the things that I'm, as I sit here listening to you talk, is the wealth of knowledge that you have medically in regards to nursing that most people are just not aware of. And I believe most nurses are not versed and should be have the knowledge that they should have in order to attend to patients, whether they are children or adults.
Right.
But the one thing that I want to stress in regards to your career as a nurse, and that your 40 years in this field, you have been able to reach and touch a whole lot of lives. At the loss of your first child, I know God bless you later on. How did God impact your life with that loss, and how did He restore you and recharge you and put you back on the, say, the path you are on now as a retired 40-year nurse doing the work that you're doing now?
Well, after that, you know, I try to pay close attention to what's going on with patients, you know, when you see them. And actually, it teaches us also, you can do your best assessment of somebody before you even say anything to them by looking and observing, you know. Like I say, I'm going into a child's room, before I say a thing or touch that child, I'm looking at how the child is interacting with his mom or whoever's there. I'm looking at how that child is breathing. I'm looking at that child's color, you know. It's just so many things that you can do, you can observe before you even touch them.
That's great. That's great knowledge. And the experience that you have, you were able to pull on the knowledge that you already have to assess their real condition or their underlying condition, which may not be exactly up front. Now that you have served 40 years, God has blessed you to stand as you are now. What do you do here now for the last 3 years in Monroe County?
The last 3 years, first of all, I came home because after talking to Mom several times, I knew that she needed to have somebody around all the time. And that was my focus. When I retired, I had some reservations about retiring. I mean, I loved my job. I loved the people that I worked with. I was just consumed by my job. And I just, you know, asked God to please give me a scripture to read that will help me make my decision. He gave me Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, a season for everything.
All right.
Okay. And after I read that, you know, I read it about 3 times. And when you get down about the 12th to 13 verses, it says, and I'm paraphrasing right now, but it says that, you know, you work for yourself, you work to make a living. At some point, you need to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
There you go.
Okay. So I said, I got it, Lord. I'm okay with it now.
I got it.
So what I did, I came down, you know, in addition to taking care of Mom, you know, trying to grow some vegetables and things. And my biggest dream is to do organic farming. And now I'm starting it, you know, now. So.
Oh, we going to go to the garden after we finish?
Yes, I would love to see your garden. Yes.
Yeah, we have 21 raised beds outside.
Okay, good.
We got about a 23-foot soil bed inside, and we got a 23-foot aquaponic unit inside as well. What is it like working in the D.C. area? Big city, compared to?
Well, I came from Morganton, which was a small town, a little bigger than Monroeville, but it was small, and went to Greensboro, which is a bigger town. It's a university town because there are many colleges there.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually grew since I left there, because I left there in 85. And when I, you know, would drive home and drive right, I did not recognize the place. They, so many roads have changed and everything. And actually, the interstate completely bypassed the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't get to go in much. I had friends there I would go in and see, but it was just difficult to drive around there. D.C., okay, it's busy. It is busy, and the traffic is horrendous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If the Metro ran all night long, I probably would have used it, but, you know, I lived out near Quantico, and so mm-hmm. having to drive in is 35 miles, 70 miles a day, mm-hmm. basically. It was chaotic. I really don't miss the traffic at all. I miss the people that I work with. I miss the people that I work with, and I miss mm-hmm. the church that I worship at, mm-hmm. Alfred Street Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I want to put a plug in with about Alfred Street.
Go ahead.
Every year in February, they have the Historical Black Colleges and Universities Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So, leaders from... Excuse me. Leaders from all of those colleges were in the United States. People come from out of the country as well. Mm-hmm. To this festival, a lot of them leave with full scholarships paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be good for, you know, students in this area to take part in that, mm-hmm. you know, to come up mm-hmm. and meet with the college leaders, and just, it's a wonderful thing. It's a mm-hmm. wonderful thing. It's huge now. They had to move down to the convention center down in D.C. because it got so big.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of good things. A lot of colleges that participate in there. A lot of students mm-hmm. come in and go to school.
As I sit here and talk to you, the nursing and the healthcare field is really booming now. And I think it would be very powerful if at one of these career days that they have at J.F. Sears, if you would talk to them kids about nursing. Because here, sitting here now listening to you, you have such a wealth of knowledge that any person knowing anything about a career would want to step in that direction, because you're well-versed, right on point. I mean, that's... I thought about when I was coming up here, I say, I don't have what I call a cheat sheet. That's why I gave you to interview you from pre-knowledge. But as I sit here and talk to you, more questions come up to ask you about the field that you was in.
Mm-hmm.
How does comparing when you began in nursing compare to right now in, say, for instance, locally here, how does it compare? The stress and the drive and the, how does it compare?
It's hard to say that I can compare that because I have not worked here, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know how I could compare it. I will say that technology has come a long way.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I was thinking about something when I was coming up here, just to show you how things changed, and this was like over 40 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I started my job in 76 that we took care of patients who had a carotid endarterectomy. What that means is they went into this patient's carotid artery and mm-hmm. took out plaque.
Mm-hmm.
I took care of that patient on the floor with 9 other patients.
Mm-hmm.
That's an ICU admission. I'm like, God has been so good to people, period, working. And you know, and like now, if you're going to cut on somebody's artery or vein, you are putting them on ICU and monitor them 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about that, how good God was. you know, taking care of a patient like that, you know, on the floor at night. No monitor. We just go in, do the blood pressure, vital signs every 4 hours. We check on them, but we put hands on every 4 hours at night. That's a big jump, and that's a scary thought right now.
Now technology is monitoring internally.
Yes.
Heartbeat, breathing rate. They're monitoring everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, you just eyes on and hands on,
mm-hmm.
not knowing the internal. Hey, that is powerful.
Yeah, that, I mean, you know. And it's, what people don't really understand is medicine is trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
We try something and see if it works. If it doesn't, we try something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an exact science.
Yeah.
It's not exact. And a lot of people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we do look and observe and go with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, one this question I ask a lot of people. When they go into a doctor's office, they go in a nurse's office, they go in to get treatment, they're praying for the one that's going to be observing and putting hands on them. Talk to us briefly about your experience and your closeness and your relationship with God and how that helped you in your 40-year career as a nurse, knowing God and putting prayer on out there before you put your hands to a patient.
Amen, amen. Well, this is it. This is what I've done. I have prayed, read scriptures, and prayed before I went into work,
mm-hmm.
and asked God to help me to see the things that I need to see,
mm-hmm.
hear the things that I need to hear, you know, and help me to take care of His children,
mm-hmm.
because we can't do it alone.
All right.
We cannot do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
We can't.
Well, Ms. Munley, I have what led me to you is 40 years of nursing, and I said I got to talk to her. Me and my wife, Mary usually write and I record, and Mary usually take pictures. But what we do here in Beatrice with this radio station and the media that we have at our exposure, and Mary is an excellent desktop publisher, is that we talk to people just like you. We record our history. We document our people and what we do here. And I want to go back with one more question for you. Take us back, you know where I'm going, to the John Drew years and Gardner Webb.
Well, the John Drew years, I mean, I talked to John when we were here in school, you know, about things, and I talked to him up there,
mm-hmm.
and before he went pro, we had a talk, and I told John, I said, John, I said, you follow your heart. I said, you can stay here and go to school. I said, you can still play college ball, but if you get hurt,
mm-hmm.
you will, you know, forfeit your chances of playing, you know, pro. And I said, you can always go to school.
Mm-hmm.
People can always go to school. And he decided to leave and go for the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I, you know, kind of lost contact. I would love to talk to him now.
Yeah.
I've lost contact with him, but I would love to talk to him. We had a great time up there. It's just like a little family. There were like five of us up there from the same class. We had a huge family. It was really nice. And I have to say, we went to school year round because we went to summer school. We enjoyed summer school.
Mm-hmm.
We all went to summer school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the basketball had their camp there. A lot of other things was having camp on our campus. We had a ball. We
mm-hmm.
did. And I look back at that and I just think, thank God for that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God for that experience. And because we had, Gardner Webb was a Baptist college, we had to have a whole year of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were studying the Old Testament, it just opened up my eyes to so many things,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I did enjoy the old, you know, just learning about different things and able to put some things together. And, you know, the Bible is beautiful. God's Word is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about God's relationship with His people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Before we close, I always, whenever I'm interviewing somebody or talking to anybody for the radio, I always offer prayer. I invite the guests to offer prayer. And I'm going to pray briefly, and you can come after me if you like. And then after the prayer, you can close out with whatever you, that's on your heart desire to say about. Our Father and Savior Jesus Christ, the most honest and powerful God of all, knowing and all-knowing. This is Freddie from the loins of Loretta and Willie, two servants that once walked on this earth before thee. I thank you for Miss Doris Mundler in our midst, in our studio, in our home, talking about her life of a nurse 40 years of helping young and old alike, and the knowledge that she has gained through her efforts to teach and love and care for your children. For that, we're eternally grateful and thankful. Be with her and guide her. And I thank her for answering the call when I called to ask her to interview. And it's just a matter of getting the time right. I thank you, Jesus, for that opportunity. Be with her and guide her, with her family, her children, grandchildren, and all that she loves. These have been blessed. We ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Heavenly Father, most gracious God, we want to thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for helping me through all the situations that I've been in.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for me to work and take care of your children. Thank you, Lord, for me being able to help and teach others. Thank you, Lord, for having a home to come back to.
Oh, Lord, thank you
for the opportunity to embark upon other things, Lord, to try to help the community, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, Lord. And I pray that you keep me and my brothers close. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ms. Mullen, thank you. Anything you want to say before we close out the program?
I just want to say thank you for asking me to talk about some of the things that happened. You just think about my career. Who knows? I might end up teaching one day. I don't know. I will follow God's command on that. I will follow. A lot of people tell me I should do that, you know, teach. So we will see.
Mm-hmm.
We will see.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Mundler. On behalf of all of us here at House C Production Gospel, Blog Talk Radio, I want to thank Ms. Mundler for taking the time to come in the studio, sit down, and talk with us about her 40 years as a nurse. 40 years. Thank you. You've been listening to House C Production Gospel, Blog Talk Radio. Special guest, Ms. Joyce Mundler, from the class of 1972 of J.F. Shields High School, graduated from Gardner-Webb College, same school as Mr. John Drew went to in 1976. North Carolina A&T, 1984. Jesse Jackson spoke at the commencement, and I imagine that had a powerful impact on her. North Carolina A&T, Georgetown University. Again, thank you, Ms. Mundler. www.notoriousdesigns.com for award-winning graphics and web designer. Check out www.notoriousdesigns.com. You're listening to House C Production Gospel, Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com, House C Production Gospel. We are your internet radio. Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. You're listening to House C Production Gospel, Blog Talk Radio. You can find us all over the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/house-production-gospel. We are your internet radio station. Sit back and relax and enjoy more of House C Production Gospel, Blog Talk Radio.
hope you enjoyed it, Ms. Mundler. We had a few outtakes and intakes that we added in there. Something you heard a couple of times, but you got the gist of her powerful 40-year career in nursing. And we hope that she will be able to join us again later on in the future and talk about more aspects of her nursing. One of the things that I'm going to bring to the attention of the career people there at JSU's high school, that's the Alumni Association. She spoke of an opportunity for historically black colleges and students that would come together and apply for scholarships and things of that nature. I'm going to get further information from her in that regard and pass it along to them. And hopefully at Career Day, those students out at JSU will benefit from her knowledge to what has taken place there and what can be done and the opportunities for them in the career of nursing. I think nursing is a powerful career in the servicing of humanity, and because we are, a lot of people are getting older and older, and the population is getting older and need care, and nursing is a key element for that. There's a young lady I interview, Dr. Gail Peace. Some years ago, she is a new grandmother now, and she has a handful with her own grandbaby, and I was drawn to Miss Mullner, by the way, that she had been in pediatrics for 40 years, and that is a very powerful career to be in, taking care of young people and young babies and learning. And one of the things that is most interesting of all to me about Ms. Mullner's interview is the things that she talked about. Here I am, a 72-year-old man, and I've been in and out of hospitals and did different treatments and had different things go on, and under-nurse treatments and different things like that. And when you had surgery, there is a condition that your body is in, and all they're giving to you is that, you know, the little plastic bottle of liquids. But you should prepare yourself prior to surgery for that recovery afterward. And she's just indicating that there were some things that we can do to be prepared for that so that your body can readily heal instead of taking so long to heal. Stay with us. More coming your way here on How to the Gospel, Blog Talk Radio. Stay with us.
Rogers and the fellas, you're on House of Black Gospel, Blog Talk Radio. One of my favorite songs around here. And you may hear it any number of times in any show that I do. It's saying a message to you. That message is God, Jesus Christ, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit is your best friend. You can have friends here on earth, but God is your number one friend. He knows all there is about you. Call on him. He's waiting to hear from you right now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Call Jesus. He is your number one friend. Again, thank you for listening to House of Black Gospel, Blog Talk Radio. All you gotta do is for me, and just you're the best. join the banks of their humanity, born into humanness. Humblest condition, he's talking about Jesus Christ. My glory was hidden from all but a few people. Occasionally, streaks of glory shone out of me, especially when I began to do miracles. We're talking about Jesus. Toward the end of my life, I was taunted and tempted to display more of my awesome power than my father planned permitted. Talking about Jesus and his Father, God the Father. I should have called down legions of angels to rescue me. You're talking about Jesus and what he could have done. I could have called down legions of angels to rescue me. At any point, imagine the self-control required of a martyr who could free himself at will. All of this was necessary to provide the relationship with me, Jesus, talking about himself now, that now you enjoy, that you enjoy. Providing a relationship with me that you now enjoy. Let your life become a praise song to me, talking about Jesus. Let your life become a praise song to Jesus, God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By proclaiming my glorious presence in the world. Jesus, God Almighty, God the Father, Jesus the Son, your friend. Listen, in spite of the iniquity, listen, in spite of the temptation to do what you have always done when you get stressed out, to do what you've always done when you couldn't find your way. Listen, call on Jesus. He is your best friend. Something that you need to understand about God. God tells you in his word, he tells you clearly in his word what is to occur to you when you choose certain directions and certain things. If you choose the ways of the flesh, you will reap the rewards of the flesh. The rewards of the flesh are pain. The rewards of the flesh are disease. The rewards of the flesh all the things that you would get when you put all of your things in the basket of the human flesh, pleasure, drinking, all those things, drugs, all those things, infidelity, pornography. A lot of those things have crossed my path. Some of them are still in my path, and there are reward for those things. The pains of the flesh. God said so in his word. His word is true. Listen, God, Jesus, God the Father, Jesus the Son, he is your number one friend. He died on the cross so that your soul would not be lost. He did it for me, and he did it for you. He did for all mankind.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. to House of Dan Gospel. I'm your host, Freddie Howard. Stay with us for more good music and words as we minister to you and usher you into the presence of God.